kick off hour number two of the program. Victory Monday edition, Tennessee on to the Supers. Excited about it. They changed the game.
I can tell how excited you are.
They changed the game because of us, and then it been burning other people.
Well, It is kind of funny. Like, all the fan bases that hated us for doing it, their players liked it and then wanted to do it, and now are getting in trouble for doing it because they didn't like us doing it.
Right.
It's a real funny cycle, that thing.
What do you think the guy's story was that was sitting behind home plate last night with the Clemson hat on and the Vols jersey? Did you see him? He was, like, right behind it. He was cheering.
I didn't notice.
They even talked about him. Like, what was his deal?
Who would he cheer for? Like, when a play would happen?
I don't.
Well, it was a Clemson hat.
Yeah, it was a Clemson hat, and it was during the Charlotte game.
Tennessee shirt. Clearly, maybe he likes lost the a bet. More.
Maybe he lost a bet.
I mean, he was right behind the catcher, like his daughter or something.
Clemson hat.
And everybody was talking about those balloons those stupid people had behind home plate as well.
Is that allowed?
I guess. You'd see those in basketball when somebody's shooting a free throw.
Right, but like pitchers, I don't know.
You would think he'd complain about that.
I guess it's fine. Tell them to stop. They did it for 14 innings. Hope their arms are really tired.
I'm sure they are.
I hope their arms are sore. Fits their attitude probably this morning. We lost the game, and Tennessee came in and spanked our little bottom. And then they lost to Charlotte. We pounded Charlotte twice. Are we getting there? Are we getting there? Because we won all of our games, and I still don't think we've played nearly as well as we possibly can. But if we could just get if Christian – like, by the way, Christian Moore's dad, like, can we start a GoFundMe to make sure he's at the Super?
I wouldn't want to break any rules, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like NIL.
We'll see if we travel to Penn, you know, he's a lot closer to the Supers.
True.
We're not traveling to Penn. Quit saying that.
Hey, their stadium's just as big as ours.
They probably didn't even submit.
They hold just under 6,000 people there.
What's ours? That's bigger than ours, isn't it?
That's bigger than ours.
They're like 5,000. Wow, theirs said it was like 5,840.
It says there's no true seating of the number two seeds in the regionals. It would largely just be looking at the merits of the two bids, venue, hotels, guarantees, et cetera. But it would be a committee decision.
This is
the dumbest crap.
Well, it actually may play into our favor.
No, it definitely will.
Hotels and facilities, and like we're going to be able to promise them actual hotels, not go stay in a dorm room. Kentucky.
Never mind, guys. I was looking at Penn State Stadium. Penn Stadium holds 856.
What's Southern Myth? Southern Miss hold.
Southern
Miss. Didn't they host last year?
Southern Miss.
Didn't they lose at home last year?
Yeah, Ole Miss
beat
them.
They might have been a national seed.
They were. Ole Miss
beat them. 4,300, but remember, like, they had people standing in the outfield?
Yeah, do they count that?
Yeah, record attendance was 6,346.
Okay. Our record attendance at Lindsey Nelson is 5,086.
So theirs is actually bigger than us.
Well, yeah, because they've got the berm. All these schools with their berms. Aren't we putting a berm in? Isn't that in one of the renderings? I could do with a berm. You all right over there? A little distracted? No, it's okay. You don't like the berm idea?
I'm just ready for our whole thing to get, you know, let's get started.
Yeah, hosting would in fact delay the starting of the project.
I mean, I'm fine with hosting delay. I mean, they said they need it for camps anyway. Remember that line?
Oh yeah, that's right. So when are they going to start? And what are they going to get done before next season? If they start working on Danny's district before we get this stadium fixed, I'm going to be mad.
Priorities.
If Tony, first of all, you made the joke during the break. You had to take a shot at Rick Barnes to do it, but this is more Sweet 16s for Tony Vitello than Rick Barnes at Tennessee. He's made the NCAA tournament, oh, I don't know.
Every year, but his first year here?
Yeah. The COVID year might have been his best team. Made Omaha once. Should have made it last year. Well, I mean, only had the one of the best teams in the history of college baseball last year. If he can, yeah, I'm just saying, if Southern Miss comes here or Penn comes here and he gets us back to Omaha, add another level. Another level. Building a damn district, and we can't put bleachers out there in the outfield.
So what is Supers considered going. Like the Elite Eight, I guess? Omaha, like a final?
But they treat it like they're, like Supers.
No, Omaha's the Elite Eight.
But they treat it like
you're
the
saying
Final
like,
Four.
Like in,
you're
in the
saying
field.
This is a Sweet 16,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
That we just won?
Well, no, I guess.
No,
this is the Sweet
16.
Yeah,
we're in the Sweet 16 now. The Supers are the Sweet 16.
Okay, yeah.
But then you go from the Sweet 16 to the Final Four.
By winning two games.
In theory, right. Yeah.
Because the Final Four is a Final Eight in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Checks out, actually.
It's what does something feel like number-wise compared to basketball, not do the numbers match up.
Exactly,
but this
yeah.
is actually a Sweet 16 that is a Sweet 16. This is where they actually align.
Chris
it's
has
beautiful.
Let us know that he was sitting behind home plate and that guy came down and sat by him. The dude with the Clemson hat and Tennessee jersey. He thinks he's a Clemson fan, but his wife's a Tennessee fan. So he went. He's
whipped.
Went split.
That probably lost a bet to her.
Well, Chris said, I'm the opposite. Tennessee fan married to a Clemson gal, but I would never.
You would never catch me in that gaudy purple. Not my color palette.
So Danny and the higher-ups all went to softball over the weekend, right? Is that where they headed? Over
were they there?
That's where Randy Boyd
well,
Randy
I mean, it is the,
like,
it is the World Series.
Yeah.
All eyes in our town this weekend, hopefully.
Please. I guess they're still in Oklahoma City.
I know we already lost one. Penn already lost once to Southern Miss with a chance to end it.
So this is a
– this is an if necessary game.
So this is one game for all the marbles.
Right.
Yeah,
3 o'clock.
Supers.
Got to think that Southern Miss would be better off in the arms department for today's game, I would imagine.
No, they played way more games.
Yeah, but I'd say their quality of depth across their entire pitching staff is probably better than Penn's.
You would think so.
How do you know?
Because Southern Miss is kind of a group of five or non-power five baseball power. They're there about every year.
Okay.
Yeah, the Women's College World Series, Tennessee has a win twice, both games today. You were right, Brett. 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN, Tennessee, Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
If they win, they'll turn around and play right after at 9:30.
Yeah, because I think Oklahoma, their game starts at noon, I think.
Yep, and if Stanford somehow pulls off a win, then they'll play again at 2:30 right after. Interesting.
So in softball, would Rogers be available to pitch again today after throwing 140 pitches?
She's available. I don't know if that means she will.
Yeah, I don't.
There's no, like, you know.
There's no rules or anything. I mean,
I just didn't know if her arm could.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. How does she feel?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we rode Monica Abbott all the
time. Yeah, we did.
You get to the postseason, it's like, who's Tennessee pitching today? Don't even worry about it. It's going to be the tall redhead, guaranteed.
So she threw 140 in yesterday's win over Oklahoma State, 3-1.
Oh, she was close to it. I don't know if she got there. It was definitely over 100.
A lot.
Yeah, it was a lot of pitches.
Huh.
I know we're kind of due one, but what did you think about old Care? Old Care playing the we don't want them to see our stuff plan.
Let's hit a break. We'll come back. We'll get into that. It was really weird. We didn't throw any of our three best pitchers.
Yep.
Against Oklahoma.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting strategy. It's different than the baseball bracket, so we'll hit that next.
Ever you are, I'm all alone, and it's you that I'm on. The mist goes over.
Hour two continues. I was trying to find an official bracket for the men's. Just like, maybe this isn't the one. Okay, yeah, here we go. All right, so I have the 2023 men's college bracket for Omaha. And yeah, the men still stick with bracket one and bracket two. So if you're in bracket one, you stay in bracket one the whole time. If you are in bracket two, you stay in bracket two the whole time.
So it's just like another small regional.
Yeah, like two regionals just at the same venue. And then the winners of those two four-team groups then play in the national championship series. So I would assume we would be in bracket one, since that's where the one seed is. We'd be like at the kind of the bottom of that. I mean, you know, in the second game. That's weird. If we were to get there. For example, it could be like Wake Forest and can't remember that other team pod that's below them, but then like LSU and then like Tennessee. But in the women's game, it's different. In the women's game, in softball, once you get to the loser of what's game 11 and 12, essentially like the regional championship game, like it's what they called it here. It would be when Tennessee played actually, it's not even.
See, they have it. They have the bracket set up the same as the men's, but it's weird how they.
But it flips. Like, see how it's not a bracket one winner and bracket two winner. It just drops the loser to the other half.
Crosses them over. Yeah, because we played Alabama first.
Mm-hmm. So the loser of the game, it'd be like that the Clemson Tennessee game.
Right.
That round, so it's not the regional championship game, it's like the one before that. It's when the two winners play in a bracket and one team loses, then they flip down to the other bracket. But in the men's, it doesn't do that. The loser of, you know, game six, for example, just drops right down to replay. And you get some rematches and stuff a lot of times.
Yeah, I like that. Like, you know, you have a chance and opportunity to play more teams in the World Series. But then still a chance to go back and play the team that, because it flips, right?
Well, the women's would flip.
Yeah.
Which means you would not get a rematch until the final.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But, all right, so that leads us into the discussion of what Karen Weekly did.
Yeah.
So Oklahoma is a juggernaut. They are, you know, like.
They've won like 50 games in a row.
Yeah, 50 in a row. They've only lost one game all year. They've won the last two national championships. Tennessee was playing them in a winner's game.
Who'd they play in game? Stanford, right? Was it Stanford in game one?
Yeah,
they won 2-0.
Did you see how that game got busted open?
Yeah, we talked about it on Friday.
Yeah, the girl duffed the ball.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that game was pretty.
That pitcher for Stanford's good.
She was amazing.
So, I'm trying to think through this. So, Tennessee, they're 1-0. Oklahoma's 1-0. And Coach Weekly decides to not start her best pitcher, her second best pitcher.
No Rogers, no Gasol.
Or her third best pitcher.
Was that her third best pitcher?
Who did Pickens start?
Yes.
Okay, so she did. She started.
Tall, blonde, left, right.
So she started her third best pitcher.
And she gave up the home run, and then they pulled her pretty quick.
Yeah, it was the freshman girl, the Pickens, right?
Yeah. He was on the phone. He's on the phone.
Apparently she's a flamethrower.
Well, she threw one that had a vapor trail going the other way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Oklahoma's got a lot of good.
They got some bats, yeah, they're pretty good. But what do you think? I think it's a pretty interesting strategy.
Because if you lose, then you drop down to the other half of the bracket and you don't have to play Oklahoma until the final.
Mm-hmm.
If you beat Oklahoma, well, I was trying to think of it this way, though. If you beat Oklahoma in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You're also not going to face Oklahoma until the final.
Right.
Yeah. So it didn't.
But then they've seen your best pitchers.
But then they're one way.
You're going to have to beat them twice, though, in the championship,
no,
right?
Either way.
Over, right? Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, you have to beat them twice. They'd have to beat you twice.
If you get there.
But, if you get to the championship, them beating you already once, has they don't get credit for that.
But don't you want to try and beat them now and send them down to the loser's bracket where they would have to beat Oklahoma State and then beat Florida State twice?
I think
and then never see them again? Isn't it a better chance to take down the Giant once than to have to beat them twice?
Well, if you take them down...
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
You're also giving them an easier path to the final. I hate it.
I don't love it, but I understand. Like, her interview after the game was... what was the final? 10-0?
9.
9-0?
Run ruled.
It might have been a hedge. We're going to start this Pickens girl. She's about as good as our other two anyway.
Yeah.
She might give Oklahoma more trouble. And if it goes well, if it's still 0-0 or we get the lead,
yeah,
maybe then we bring in Rogers or... I can never say the girl's name right.
Gatchall.
They said it different on the broadcast.
I know. I've heard it three different ways.
But then maybe you bring in one of them to try and, like, steal the win and get it. Mm-hmm. But once things went poorly with Pickens, okay, now I understand why you didn't throw the better pitchers once the game was out of hand.
Sure.
That's an easy call. But to not throw either one of them to start the game was an interesting strategy. She said something to the broadcast team before the game. She said, you might see all of our pitchers today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love – what did she say after? You were going to say that, and I kind of interrupted you.
She was basically just saying, like, well, you know, obviously, like, the blah, 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 like, we didn't play well, but, you know, now we have an opportunity to go and see them again, and they haven't seen our best pitchers. Almost like – and maybe that's – maybe that wasn't, like you said, that wasn't the plan going in, but then once Pickens gives up the bomb, and it's – well, I think it was made it 3-0 – I think it was 1-0, and then that bomb made it 3-0, and then they pulled her.
They put somebody else in and went to like 5-0. Then they put some kid in that hadn't pitched hardly all year.
Right, yeah.
They did say Oklahoma struggles against a girl that throws harder. They were hitting under 200 on the season.
Okay,
which was like their only weakness.
So maybe Pickens was, they thought that was the best matchup.
I mean, she was throwing 75.
75?
Yeah, I think a couple times. She was getting it up there. I mean, because Rogers throwing 70 last night a couple times.
Man.
And all those girls can just.
But I mean, it's
it.
A tough road to have to beat.
Yeah,
you had to beat Oklahoma State.
Pickens only pitched 1 2/3.
You had to beat Oklahoma State last night, and then now you have to beat Florida State twice. Florida State's really good.
Yeah.
A lot of people said Florida State's the only team that could beat Oklahoma.
I've heard Tennessee, Florida State are the two that like everyone has circled as one of these two teams will meet Oklahoma for the championship.
I don't think the strategy of just throw the first Oklahoma game makes any sense now that I think through it more.
It might give you a better – well, I think it gives you a better chance if you make the final, but now it does make it harder for you to make the final.
I mean, I guess if you think you're the only team that can beat them, if you think, well, if we beat Oklahoma once, they're gonna beat everybody else, and we're going to then have to beat them two more times
right.
to win the national championship.
Right.
You say, well, if we throw this game, then we only have to beat them twice.
Right.
You have to beat them, you know.
She said after the game, I like what Pickens can do. I like her variety of pitches, and that was really what went into it, was watching them and how they approach at-bats. I knew it was a risk. Where'd it go? Sorry. I knew it was a risk, and I take full responsibility for it.
Okay. So it sounds like it was kind of a hedge.
Yeah.
It was kind of a like, well, they're going to be really tough to beat anyway. Let's kind of throw a curve at them and see, you know, think Pickens might be able to give them some trouble. She didn't, and... Once it's out of hand, there's no point.
Yeah.
You have to save your better pitchers once it's out of hand just to try and get as far as you can in the other bracket.
Did you watch this game? Any of it?
The Oklahoma one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think about the strike zone?
It's ridiculous. Dude, I'm telling you, we complain about like college football officiating,
mm-hmm.
but the further away you get from the big money sports in college, the worse this stuff gets. I mean, it's just insane how bad it gets in a hurry. That one video that's going around.
The side-by-side?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where.
Do it in the other batter.
Yeah. Yeah. The Oklahoma pitcher ball crosses the batter's box on the opposite side of the plate, strike. And then we throw one like high, but in the strike zone, almost dead center ball.
I feel like that umpire. He fell for like the classic like mistake. Like he expected our pitch to be lower, and when it was a little higher than where the catcher had set up, it's like it froze his brain. It was still like at the belt, but because the catcher kind of gave a target like top of the knees,
mm-hmm.
when she moved up and a little inside, she was like on the outside corner. I feel like
kind of at the knees. And when she moved up and to the left, which is more into the zone,
yeah,
and caught it
right, right
over the heart of the plate, belt high. It's like his brain froze, and he caught it a ball. I was like, so stupid. But if the catcher, it's like the old Maddox play. Like, if the catcher keeps setting up further and further outside, and then you hit the mitt, like, directly, even though it's not over the plate, they'll call it a strike.
Right. Like, you get credit for placement.
Right.
Or in this case, punished for lack of placement
yeah.
to the glove.
Yeah.
It's like the plate doesn't exist. It
yeah,
made no sense.
You left this over the plate more, and they called it a ball. Stupid.
And did you see the video of, what was her name, Ball?
Yeah, ball coming off the ground.
That seems pretty cut and dry. Like, is he just not looking for that? Like, aren't the umps in the outfield supposed to be looking at that? Like, you can't jump when you throw the ball.
Doesn't every pitcher do that to some degree, though? And they have to decide. Yeah, I was watching our pitcher. Like, she comes off the ground, too.
Oh, okay.
So you have to keep. I mean, when a foot's dragging, it's going to come off the ground.
Yeah, it's
going to.
Yeah.
And so if you're Karen Weekly, though, you definitely try and play that card if you had to play Oklahoma again, right? You start, you put it in the umpire's mind, like, hey, don't forget, like, this girl's been called for illegal pitches all season, like, apparently she does this.
And she's been called?
Like, yeah, like, she gets worse and worse, and then they call her on it, and then she goes back to, like, not being as egregious with it.
So it's as much as I can get away with until I get, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which makes it kind of a tough thing to even rule on at all. All right, we'll come back with more. Get to the phone lines, 865-546-8200 on the Big Orange Philly phone line. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. The number to join us on the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We got Matt up first today. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
What's up, guys?
Morning.
Feeling super.
Feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Feels good to feel good.
That game was interesting. I was going to see what you guys thought. If the a couple things really, but the Charlotte player that slid across home plate. You guys thought that was safe, or was he out?
He was out with his leg up.
His foot never touched. The question was, did the right foot or thigh that was under his left one that he led with the slide, the question was maybe it got to home plate before the tag was on, but there was no way you could overturn that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was a bang-bang play. I thought the weirder thing was the ump, as soon as he made the call, and I don't know baseball officiating. I'm assuming the umpire behind home plate has the call no matter what. Is that correct?
Yes.
So he immediately makes the call, then runs down the third base line and automatically gets into an argument with the third base ump, which I'm assuming he said he was safe. The guys on TV made a remark about it, you know. But the umpire was going around as soon as he made that call, pointing and being pretty vocal, like, yeah, I got this right, my call, I know it. You know, it was like there was no turning back on that. He was super confident he made the correct call.
Which he had the best look, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, he was right there, had the best angle for it. It would make me mad, too, if I saw a guy who was standing on third base from behind trying to argue the call, too.
Yeah. So we're pulling for Penn. Right, I mean,
oh yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the difference between a road or a home series, and they're the weaker team also. So I mean, it's kind of like when you're in the NCAA tournament and you win your game, and you're pulling for the weaker seed to win the game before. And some people might say, well, if the team wins, aren't they the better team? It's like, well, first of all, the team that wins is going to win anyway, and you're playing them no matter what. But in this case, there's the added bonus that if Penn wins, you're definitely hosting. If Southern Miss wins, essentially there's going to be an argument, and a committee will hear the case for both teams and pick one.
That's what gets me, though, is there not just a rule in place? I mean, doesn't Southern
Apparently
Miss
not.
Automatically get the bid?
Apparently not.
That is so weird, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think that because Southern Miss is theoretically the stronger two seed mm-hmm. that they would host, but because this thing is like – because when they make the bracket, they – take into account how good you are, but they also take into account travel. Like, they'll absolutely put a team that's better or worse, you know, in a region that's closer to home just to save money on the travel, especially when it, you know, when it's close. So
who would be in that? Who would be in that region then? Tennessee, Southern Miss, and then what other teams would be there?
No, that's it.
Because I wonder if that would.
It's a super.
It's a super.
Yeah, it'd be a super. So it's just those
right.
two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on, man. You guys know and I know. If you on TV, Tennessee, just the name itself ought to lend you some credence there. Just from fan support. Also, I know Southern Miss got what six. You guys said 6,000, but
no, they do a great job.
It'd be packed out there too.
Pete, what is it called? Pete Trailer Park.
If we have to go to Southern Miss, and a Tennessee fan wants to think about it in this way, would you rather get slighted in college football because Alabama has been better lately, and that would make a better whatever? Or would you rather it be fair? That would be my argument. You know, like, if they really are a bit. But I think it's tricky because I feel like there was one. Maybe we have a better RPI or something.
We do have a higher RPI.
So maybe that makes it murky. But if we assume that Southern Miss is more deserving, I feel like they should get it. But if they're not, then I don't know. I'm like you, Matt. They should just have a rule. Like, you should just seed every team before the bracket, and then you don't have to worry about it.
At least the first.
Well, it's crazy. What's that?
I think the ones and
at least
the ones
and twos.
Yeah, ones and twos should be seeded. This scenario comes up.
Well, I'll circle back around and get out of here with what you guys started off with, is that I wish they would come back and change this knee-jerk reaction rule they made on Tennessee last year with these guys having a little fun, because the call was BS with the Clemson player. Yeah. I mean, I know they're honoring it and they're doing what's correct, but I mean, come on, man. I mean, how does a sport if you're trying to drum up eyes and get more popular with college baseball, which desperately needs it and needed it. I mean, you look how many eyes you brought in last year with Tennessee's arrogance and just, you know, the fun those guys were having, the cockiness, the arrogance and stuff. And then to come out and make a rule that these guys can't celebrate, which I still see them doing, by the way. I don't understand the whole, like, on second base, you'll see these guys, every double that's hit, every player that runs to second base has some celebration they do. But you can see they do it, and then they automatically look at the umpire at second base to make sure they're not pushing that, you know, pushing the limit. You guys notice that?
Yeah, the big celebration change was the props. Like,
yeah,
the daddy hat.
You can celebrate as long as it's at your dugout.
In the dugout. No props outside the dugout.
And then when they look at the umpire, they're calling time, Matt, so they can go hand all their gear to the first base coach.
Okay, well, still new at baseball. They should have come on, but let them celebrate, though.
I agree.
Right. Yeah. No, I think we all agree, yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. See ya.
See you, buddy. And I don't know what that guy said. I mean, again, just looking at it, it didn't look like it bothered Zane. But
it felt like the umpire was studying Zane way more than the other guy. It felt like the umpire might have heard the Clemson guy say something and was like, oh, man, I'm tossing that guy. And then he kept watching Zane Denton, like,
to see if he'd fire back. Yeah.
So to decide whether he needed to toss both. Which would have been even crazier.
Well, and maybe,
because then the winner of the game, no matter what's getting punished the next game. And I feel like Zane even said something, but maybe he didn't cuss or something.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
I didn't even see the chirping to begin with when they issued the warnings.
Maybe the Clemson guy was like, you know, bleepity bleep bleep bleepy bleep and bleeper, and Zane was like, "I got you, buddy," or you know, just like, or,
have a good one,
something very just nonchalant. And so the umpire was like, "All right, well, Clemson guy gone, Tennessee guy, all right, you're all right." What a mess. We'll come back. Final segment, hour two. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number two. I found it for you, Chris. It said, "The powers that be got scared." That's a direct quote.
Love it. And then KP's just absolutely.
So Tennessee were the black hat last year. They're the number one team all regular season, and they did a lot for college baseball, especially during the regular season.
you got to think, like, guys like KP, Ben McDonald, these guys who call these games, it has to be frustrating for those guys to see what we did last year and see the game pick up popularity because it's fun and entertaining and people are bringing props out. The better college baseball is nationally, the more money these guys are going to make calling these games. It's better for them. So when you got these guys like Corbin and Dave Van Horn who just want to take a dump all over people who like to have fun in college baseball, it's probably frustrating.
I would say there's probably some guys who agree with it, but to your point, like, they should just be all for it. They should absolutely want that. Like, you're not changing the game. You're just allowing it to kind of evolve with the celebration. I mean, I don't know. Corbin and Van Horn especially, you know, I think even Sully said something like that. Although, I don't know why. Those guys. Who was that big pitcher they had last year? I think he got tossed in a game for talking. I think Georgia had a pitcher get tossed for talking this year.
Was it Sproat?
Last year.
I think it was Sproat.
Yeah, like, I don't, and again, and you can rarely get a camera angle that either A, allows you to hear it, which is very unlikely, but even to see what they're saying. A lot of the guys will cover their mouth or whatever. But unless they're saying just, I don't even know what you could say. I mean, who cares? Especially guys talking, like, in the middle of a competitive game. Like,
oh, no.
Yeah, like, again, without knowing what was said, it just seems like a real. Was he up in the next inning? Camarillo?
Yeah, he missed one at bat.
He did? Okay, yeah. I was wondering. I was like, this seems
That's
like
when they had to hit that one kid, wasn't it? Or not? The one that never had an at bat? How do you have 20 pitchers and not and not a guy to pinch hit?
That's a good question.
I mean, maybe that's just the way their roster is. Like, maybe we don't have 20 pitchers. Maybe we have 18, so we have two extra bench guys. Like,
yeah.
I don't. Crazy.
So weird.
That manager's like, I'm using every bad guy, one of these guys.
People clowned us last year when Gilbert got tossed in the Supers.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have tossed the kid? No. But at the same time, to hell with him.
Yeah. I mean, he said something. And I watched it again just now because it was the lead-in into that conversation. He yelled something at Zane. Zane then just turned and looked at him. You can't tell if Zane says anything back or not. He might have not said anything. He might have just looked back at him. And then the Clemson guy yells a whole other line of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He yells two whole, like, paragraphs. And so,
if you've given out a warning, though, like in the seventh, when a game goes that long and it starts to get intense, in the middle of an inning, you need to talk to the coaches to maybe just reiterate the fact that, hey, we're not putting up with anything.
I told when we were watching the replay, I turned to my wife, I said, I feel like the umpire, as soon as he starts chirping, the umpire needs to say, hey, no, we're not having that.
Shut up.
Anything else, you're out of here. And then if the kid keeps going, then you toss him. And then you with a clear conscience, go over to the Clemson manager and be like,
I told you, we
gave a warning in the seventh. I told him to shut up or you're going to get tossed. He kept going. It's not even part of the game. Like, we're just running off the field here. I'm sorry. I didn't want to do this, but your dude's a freaking idiot.
Yeah, like, but when you're just kind of standing there listening, like, okay, yep, he's gone. Let's see if the other guy gets talking too, so I can throw them both at. Like, that's just weird to me.
I'm pretty sure.
Didn't the warning was issued after Christian Moore hit into a double play, and then Grice was like, had the ball, and Moore walked in front of him as he was on the mound. And I think that's when, after that, they came out for no reason, talked to Grice, talked to Clemson's coach. I think that's when the warning was issued.
Correct.
Grice.
I mean, they were a bunch of bleeps, man.
He was, especially.
Like, the staring Dolander down, like, acting like you're, like, going to walk towards the mound. That one kid getting hit, clearly not intentional, just got a fastball that got high and away from him. Spiking your bat down, staring. Like, I'm glad they lost. Bunch of punks.
Bunch of divas is what they were. Well, hopefully they'll enjoy watching us in the Super Regional that they should be hosting.
I did see a lot of fans say, this is absolute bull crap. Auburn got the host and Tennessee didn't. We got paired with the best two seed there's been in the last couple of years in this
thing. Which is funny because or at least by the order of the seeds, we were not the best two seed in the eyes of the committee. What did we say we were? Like
the third?
Like 13th best two seed. Just because Clemson was what, the four? They were number four?
No, we'd overall seed? We'd have been 13 overall, right? The 4-13.
So 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, the fifth best two seed.
Oh, okay. But still not the best two seed. But, yeah, that was what Clemson fans were saying.
Who's the best two seed in the history of baseball?
What's Sorry. That? It's like us playing Michigan in the tournament.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, they weren't good, they, you know.
Yep, they underperformed and then figured it out a little bit. Still think we've got a lot of good baseball in front of us. Got some guys in some little funks that we got to – what are you doing?
I just saw a video. It's a police chase.
Okay.
And this guy stole a cop car.
I've always been fascinated by that. Of all the cars to steal,
you'd
blend in with the chase.
But the funny part
is chase.
He tried to exit the vehicle on foot when he was doing about 60.
I've seen that video, Hickman. That guy didn't make it.
You think he died?
I know he did. I've seen the report of this incident.
So let's see. So he died. Well.
And you're laughing.
I mean, ooh, yeah. Somebody bring a shovel.
Hickman.
Although it looks like he did a pretty good job of tucking the chin, keeping the head from going back.
Hickman. Your moral victory in this guy is like life and death.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I know he died.
He did a good job tucking the chin.
Which is essentially like losing the game, but we played well, though, you know.
Speaking of dying, watch out for skunks. It's that time of year.
I feel like we say this in October. Is
no.
It no, it's the fall. That's when they mate.
I've seen more dead skunks on the side of the road than I have just
like ever
in the last year.
Mm. I'll keep my eyes out. Speaking of dying.
Hour three next.